But before we get started here, let's bow our heads. Dear Lord, we thank you for this opportunity, Lord. And as we open your word, Lord, we realize an opportunity, dear God, for our souls to be helped, to be strengthened, to be encouraged, to be enlightened, dear Jesus. And we pray that you would have mercy by your spirit and do the things that we could never do by ourselves, Lord. Please, God, direct by your spirit. Open up our hearts by your spirit and write the things you desire to write on our hearts by your spirit, Lord, we pray. Help us to yield ourselves to you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, we have one more message here that God's given us from the song, What Can He Do? I know we've talked about here every time we pray. And then last week we talked about drive all the clouds away. And today we have the third and I believe probably the last one. Well, let me not say that. That's in the Lord's hands. But for now, the last one he's given me from this song. Turn darkest night to day. So we want to write that on the board for today. Turn darkest night to day. So, there it is on the board, turn darkest night today. And, you know, it's interesting when the Lord brought these messages, I would say maybe even after I received them, I still didn't see a triad here in these messages as far as basically something that covers the Lord's entire desire reaction with us. The first thing the Lord wants us to know is that he hears us. If we're going to come to him in sincerity, then God's going to hear us.
Yes.
Then he wants us to know if there's problems, if there's interferences, if there's things that hinder us in our life, that he has the power to move everything in the necessary time and the necessary place to do those things. That he has power over that in our life. And things work according to his plan for our good, and we can trust that. We can rest in that. And today is the final part of, I believe, as I've thought about it, now the Lord may show me some more things, but God's been putting this on my heart, that if we can get a hold of this is the entirety of how God is desiring. Whatever he does, this is how he desires to interact with us. Let us know he hears us, take care of the problems, and let us know that he has got those things in his control. They can only work for our good if we trust him. And the last thing is, he's going to shine a light on our life. You know, when we sing this song before, I've always thought of this and drive the clouds away as being kind of, they've repeated themselves. But as God's brought this message to me, and maybe the author meant them that way, but he's shown me that it means something different. That this is the part where it takes a lot of humility. We like to think that God hears us. We like to think that I can rest in the fact he's got everything under control. But we don't always want to hear what he's got to say about our lives. It's not natural as a human. It's something we have to submit ourselves to. But it's the third part of this, and it can interfere with everything else. If we come to this place and we don't allow this part to happen, we don't allow the Lord to do what he can do in this manner in our life, then we can put a roadblock over everything and not be able to receive what God has for us. So we want to look into this a little bit. I want to look over in Isaiah 9 and 2. And you know, it's the Christmas season, and sometimes these verses start coming to our minds, and I feel like we have several things here just thinking about that kind of bring our mind into that season. But, you know, Christmas was all about the Lord coming, and the Lord is all about every day of our lives and everything that's going on in our lives. And so as we look at this verse, I want us to see you know, if you think about Christmas, that's okay, but I want us to see something more and to get a hold of what this verse is saying. It says, the people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. You know, this verse, that's us. That's every man that has ever lived on this entire earth. We live in the place of darkness without the Lord. He is that light that came, where we're in a place where we can't see things for what they really are sometimes. We can't look to the depths of where issues and problems and sins sometimes come from in our life. The Lord is that light that can reveal all things. And he came to reveal all things to mankind. And I say it the way to cover everyone who has ever lived, to bring that light into our life. This was his purpose. This is what this verse that we read with such hope and awe, this is what it means. It means a light came to show us who we are and what needs to happen in our life. That's the joy of Christmas. That somebody came that had the ability to shine that kind of a light in my life, where it could show me the things that would take my soul to hell.
Right.
That would interfere with the joy of the Lord in my life. That would interfere with his peace. He can shine a light at you and say, this is the problem. Just like the rich young ruler. Here it is.
Yes.
You can find anywhere in my word where it said, let's say his name was Philip. Philip, you have this problem. But here I am, the light of the world. And I know what the issue is. I know what you need to do to have this peace that you're longing for. You're longing for a peace. Well, here's what it's going to take. Well, Lord, I want to hear about you listening to me, and I want to hear about you handling all the situations, but I don't want to hear you saying that I've got an issue, that it's something in me that's causing the problem. But that's what it is. It's something in us that's not weird. That's not crazy. That's the issue with mankind. There is a thing inside of us that causes the problems.
Yes.
And the Lord came to be a light that could shine and touch those areas and say, look, here it is. Here it is. We can do something about it. The Lord came to do something about it. That's why he gave his life on Calvary, was to do something about it. It's why he's shining his light into your life. It's to help you. Because if you don't get some help, there is no other help. This is the only help you have. Lord, help us to yield to that, to have a joy in the moment somehow with the realization of why God's shining that light on our life. It is not for condemnation. The Lord said that over and over. He said, I didn't come to condemn. I didn't come to break. I came to bring light, to show you what the issues were. To be able to see so clearly. And so this is what happened. This is what Christmas brought. This is the joy of Christmas this morning, is that this light came into this dark world.
Yes.
And he came, and you know what? He left in the person, but he brought the light to stay, that we can have it in our lives. So we want to look at that a little bit this morning. I want to turn over in John, the first chapter, the Gospel of John, first chapter. All right, and in John, we'll start with the first verse. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And for the sake of everyone here, young, old, wherever you are, I think we begin to get the concept of what it means here when we see the Word. But the Word, Christ was the Word made flesh. That's who he was. And so as we see that, we realize it's referring to Jesus, and that he was there in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And here's a little bit of a verse that touches on what we're talking about. Oh, Lord, we don't want to know that about ourselves. Well, this is where life is. Life can't happen without this light shining on your light. But if you want to let it happen, if you want to let the light shine, you say, yes, Lord, go ahead. Show me who I am. Show me what I need. Because that's where life is.
Yes.
If the sun were to no longer exist, what would happen to us? Would the world exist? I mean, think about what the sun brings and all the things it brings to this world. Okay, so the light was the life of men. It brings life into all of our lives. And today it brings life into my life. All right? So the light shineth in darkness, and darkness comprehended it not. All right? So I looked a little bit into this word, and I've heard some things about it that I think are absolutely true. So as I read this morning, I'm going to expound on those things, and I'm going to take them a little farther and add a little bit to them. But it's what it is. It's an addition to how we've explained these words that I've heard before about the darkness not being able to overtake the light. But this word means a little something more than that, okay? So let's look at it here. The word comprehended means to take eagerly, that is to seize and possess. Great light shine in darkness. The darkness withdrew from the light. If you have darkness and you shine a light, you see light, but what you see also is that darkness withdraws from the light. It's no longer in that space anymore. It pulls back from it. All right? Darkness does not seize and take hold of light. Spiritually speaking, this morning, I want us to get hold of this with the help of the Lord, be able to share what He's put on my heart about this particular verse. Darkness pulls back from light. Lord, help us. Don't let the darkness pull you back from the light. The darkness does not take and seize eagerly those things that the light brings to shadow. When God begins to deal with your life and you feel a desire to draw back and not take hold of those things and not to seize them eagerly, I mean, even in the part where you're seizing them, and if you're struggling, then pray to the Lord to help you to take it eagerly in your life, yes. To have a heart to realize, because even in that trying to take it, but really, I don't really want to do this, darkness is trying to clamp onto you. And if it clamps onto you, it will pull you back from the light. As you see any part of you that doesn't want to eagerly take those things that the Lord brings to you because they're showing you things, they're like, I'm deficient. I'm not what I need to be. There's something that needs to happen in my life. And as you feel something, any struggle at all with that, put it, take it to the Lord in prayer. Don't stop. Don't, you know what? If you want to go talk to somebody about it, fine. But before you even do that, immediately have a heart and say, Lord, help me. You know there's something wanting to pull me back from this. And this is not you. This is darkness trying to withdraw from the light. I don't want to let that have a place in my life at all in any way. Because as innocent as it might seem right now, it is going in a direction that's away from where I need to go, where I want to go. It's going in a direction away from salvation. So Lord, let me take eagerly. Let me take hold of the things that you show me about myself and life. And let me pursue them with all my heart. And Lord, any part of me that draws back, Lord, have mercy and help me. Yes. Let me recognize that for what it is. Because darkness does not seize eagerly the light. All right? And so, it goes on here and it says, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. Now, he was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light. And as we said before, there is not another option. He is the light of the world. We see here it's capitalized and it says he was not that light. He was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. You know, there will be no one who gets to stand before the Lord one day and say, you didn't tell me what I needed to know to be saved. Every man on this earth. Now, I don't know how the Lord does it. I want to do my part. If I've got a part that I'm supposed to be doing, I want to be a part of that. But regardless of all that, every man on earth, this is the light that lights their life. Yes. And there's more to that than the fact this verse means that God will deal with every man, yes, to show him what he needs to know, yes, in order to be saved. We are not the light of the world. It does not take us expounding everything that we know to the world in order for the world to be saved. But it does take this light. And it does take every man, no matter who you are or how much you know, you cannot get to a point where you don't have to have this light anymore on your life. It still is the only light that lights men. Yes. But we all have, there will be none of us who get to stand before the Lord one day and say, Lord, you didn't show me that. Because if there's something that needs to be shown to you about your life, this is the light of the world. This is who does it. Yes. Whether he uses a man or not. The minute we start making it about men being able to share the truth of God somehow in a way that brings salvation, the light of the world brings salvation. And if I'm going to bring salvation to the world, if you're going to bring salvation to the world, you're not doing it anyway except the light of the world. That means if you aren't letting the light work in your life, Lord, help me to get my act together so I can be used by God.
Yes.
To bring his light, because there is not another way. I can't substitute. I can't circumvent it. The only way is letting God bring his light into my life. But if I'm willing to let that happen, it can't happen any other ways. But if I'm willing to let that happen, then the Lord will manifest what he needs to manifest out of my life. If I'm just willing to let it go and let him lead me and guide me, he will touch lives because his light is in my life. And that is what brings salvation to the world. And I want to be a part of that. I want to be. And this is how it happens. But the Lord is doing it for every man and woman and child that is in this world. The Lord is bringing his life into their lives. All right? So let's look over here and think about, well, we're going to turn over to John 3 in just a minute. But I want to say one more thing about this. It says this is the true light. True means truthful. It means it shows things for how they really are. Yes. You can't see things for how they really are unless there is light shining on it.
That's true.
And this is the light of the world. This is the only light there is. And the only way I can see things for what they really are, I can try to say, well, they're really this way, or this is really what I mean, or this is really who I'm wanting to be. Well, that's all well and good. Those are good, great human intentions. But they're not the light of the world. It takes a submission and letting God shine his light on our life to be able to see things for what they really are in our lives. All right, let's look over at John, the 3rd chapter. And the 19th verse. And actually, let's back up to the 17th. We spoke about how the Lord didn't come to condemn. That was not his point. It's not his purpose. We all stood in condemnation. Jesus didn't have to come to condemn us. I mean, the Lord really didn't. He's kind of sealed it. You know, okay, this is the route to salvation, and I sent my son to save you. I mean, you really don't have an excuse, but we all stood in condemnation because of sin. All right? Jesus didn't come into the world to condemn us. All right? It says it here. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He might be saved. This is your salvation. Letting the light of God shine in your life. And not just for a moment. Can you imagine you're walking across a path that's just so narrow, and there's so many pitfalls, and there's places to just drop for hundreds of feet maybe, and somebody sits you over here, and you've got about 100. How much would be relative to life? 1,000 feet? 3 miles? What's the relevance? It's more than a step, right? Life is pretty much more than a step for all of us. So let's say it's 500 feet. Let's just go with a short distance, really, relatively speaking. You've got 500 feet to walk across this, and somebody for a moment turns the light on and flashes it right back off and says, okay, go. Are you ready? Can you go? No. No. I remember one time we went to Crystal Caverns here, Cathedral Caverns, actually, I think is what it's called.
Yeah.
And they take you way back in there, and we got all the way back in there, and it's a winding path, and there's rocks, or what are the stalagmites, or whatever they're called, hanging from the ceiling and growing from the ground, and there's a little path through it all, and they have it lighted, and you get back to the very back room. What is it, a half mile? Or it's a pretty good distance back in there. I don't remember the exact distance. They get us back in there, and they turn off the lights so that you can You get the experience of being in the cave, and it's really neat. It actually is really neat. But in that moment, there became a need. We had some young children, and there became a need to get back out of the cave as soon as possible. I mean, we had to just wait. And there came a point where they turned the lights on, and then we could go. But to have gone before that, as bad as the need was, it would have been foolish. Without the light shining on our pathway, we probably would not have made it out. We would have got hurt, hit into something, and not found our way out. The light of the world is not a momentary experience. It's something that must shine on our life day by day. All right? And so he sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. It's our salvation. As the light continues to shine on our life, to show us what things really are and the truth about ourselves and what needs to happen in ourselves, that's our salvation. We couldn't walk the path without it. That's how you're going to walk the path safely in this life, all right? So that's his purpose, is that we might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation. This is why that happens. This is what this verse is saying. He's going, here's why people choose not to believe in Jesus. All right? This is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. If we have allowed darkness to latch onto our life, it will pull us back from the light. And when the light shines, its reaction will be to resist it, to do something different, to get away from it in whatever way we can. When I feel that, if I'm feeling that today, as a Christian, Lord, help me to put a hand up against it. But I want, if we're not where we need to be and we're not saved, and we are trying to, we feel a drawing back from people saying, well, you're not where you need to be, or hearing those words, not people, but hearing those words. Realize what's happening in your life. You can let go of it. Darkness doesn't have the power to keep you. But if you want to let it hang on to you, that's what it's going to keep on doing in your life. You're going to have to say, no, I want something different. I want to let the light shine on my life, and I want to yield to it. I want to come to the light. But it says here, men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Everyone that doeth evil hateth the light. That's the reaction. We have to at some point say, I don't want to be this. I don't want to let this have this control in my life. I want to say no, because I can come to the light if I choose to. It's based on my belief, my willingness to yield to the Lord. Believe means to commit myself to the Lord. It's more than just saying, oh yeah, the Lord's there. It's committing, Lord, I want to be like you. I want to be who you are. I want to let you take over in my life. I want you to shine your light on me. I want you to guide, direct, and do what you want to do in my life. That's the moment that we can be saved. Yeah. And that's the moment that we can live in salvation. In that manner, letting the Lord work in our lives. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. It's a very simple thing. That one's so complicated. Why am I not here? Well, because you're yielding to something that doesn't want to be told it for what it is in your life. And you're not wanting to let that be said. All right? But if we're willing, it says, but he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be manifest, that they are wrought in God. Not me. Back over here just wanting to be who I want to be. And I don't want to hear that it's not right. Mm-hmm. Or I can say, Lord, it's your work. It's time for you to get to work. Lord, I want you to get to work in my life. I want you to shine your light on my life. And I want you to show me what needs to happen. And I want to let you do what you're trying to do in my life. All right, there it is. There's the dividing line. All right. And back over here in the first chapter of John, we want to read just a few more verses there. All right. And so picking up there, we left off in the 9th verse. It says in the 10th verse, he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. You know, if the experience, we talk about the light and how we can get this concept of, and it's in our world today, that's all about God just helping with our problems, and the light is all about just warming us up and making us feel good. That's what the devil's trying to make it about today. Well, if that's what it was all about, if that's what the light really is, then why would anybody reject him? Why would you not accept him? I mean, okay, what does he do? Well, he listens to you and he makes you feel good about yourself. Okay, well, I mean, what's the problem with that? You know, in the flesh, what's the problem with that? What's the flesh going to draw back about on that? No, it's got to mean something different, and it does, right? There's a reason why his own didn't receive him, because it was more than that. It was shining the need in their life. The need to submit to God, the need to allow him to change who we are, to make us what we're supposed to be, and the fact that we're not, in and of ourselves, we're not. We walk in darkness. There's not a way to make it happen except through Christ and his light in our life. And it says, so his own didn't receive him, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to be the sons of God. As many as said, Lord, let it shine in my life. The Lord gave power to be his children. Yes. You know, we sang a song, he's just the same today. Amen. That's what God, he offered it to them, and it's the same thing he's offering to us today. The power that's needed to be what we're supposed to be, but we have to live in the light. We have to let the light shine on our life in order for that to happen. And we have to say, yes, Lord, that's who I am. You know, I thought about that verse, that song, O Little Town of Bethlehem. And it says in one of the songs, verses there says, where meek hearts, humble, yes, Lord, it's not me, it's you, Lord. Where meek souls will receive him still, the dear Christ enters in. He is just the same today. All right, let's turn over to John 15. John 15, and I'm going to read a couple of verses down here. The 22nd verse says, he's speaking here and he's telling them how, look, if you were of the world would love you, on up before this verse. He said, but you're not of the world. There's something different. You're not just with them in this darkness, walking around blind. The light's shining on your life, and it changes who you are when the light truly shines on your life. He says, if I had not come and spoken unto them, 22nd verse, then they had not had sin. But now they have no cloak for their sin. All right? And in 24th verse, if I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin. But now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father. Why? Because they weren't willing to humble themselves and say, yes, Lord. Because they wanted just to be patted on the back and say, everything's okay. They didn't want a salvation where it said, you know what, the problem is you. You want to see the problem, look in the mirror. Not so much at your flesh. And some of the problem maybe sometimes, I don't know. But your heart, who you are, there's a need there. There's a need for the Lord to shine your life. And, yes. But when we pull back, you're like, well, I would never, that hatred and persecution. But I want to look at these two words here. The first word I want to look at is sin. Okay? It says, if I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin. But now they have no cloak for their sin. If you study this word, it starts off, the gentlest of definitions of this word is to miss the mark. There's a mark there, and you missed it. Isn't that what the Lord comes along and says to us a lot of times? Understand what I'm saying? Don't think I'm teaching that we sin every day. That's not what I'm saying. So stay with me and think about this definition, because I believe it's important for us to get a hold of something here and truly live victoriously. All right? So the sin, in the simplest definition of this word that's translated as sin here, means to miss the mark. And isn't that what God does to us? Doesn't he come along? Is anybody here never missed the mark? I mean, let's see, what all have I been in life? I've been a son, I've been a sibling, I've been a friend. I've been an employee. I've actually been a manager briefly in some situations. I'm a spouse. I'm a dad. And I could name other things in there. I spent some time thinking about this morning, and I'm not going to ask you to be transparent, but the Lord's got me up here, so sometimes there's a need for me to be transparent and be honest. So we don't walk out of here thinking the wrong thing. I can look at every single one of those situations and say, Lord, I have missed the mark at some point, multiple times in every single one of those situations. Why am I not lost today? Because when the Lord shined his light on my life, and as he does, he's taught me to say, yes, Lord.
Yes.
That's me. And it's taken humbling myself down and saying, Lord, okay, have your way. I don't want to be a sinner. I don't want to live in sin. So, Lord, you've shown me something here. And whatever, however simple it is, however, whatever the situation is, I want it to end here. Because this word goes on to carry even more stronger parts to its definition, where it comes to a place of sin, of separation with God. I don't want that process to happen. When the Lord reveals something by his light, I want to say, thank you, Lord.
Yes.
Thank you for not letting this go on in my life. Thank you for helping me to see how I need to stop it right here and not let it grow to what it would be if it was allowed to continue on in my life. Lord, help me. You know, if I draw back from that, you know what I'm letting happen? I'm letting it grow. I'm letting it, and eventually that thing's going to become sin in my life. At some point, it will manifest itself as sin in my life, as rebellion against God. All right? The other word we had here was hatred. And we probably have heard this one explained a little bit, like I'm going to explain it. But it also has a continuation, so to speak, in the definition. All right? It starts off and it means to love less. And we use that when, you know, there's a verse that says he does not hate his brother, his mother, his father. Love less. It does not love me more is what that verse is saying. That's the application of that there. All right. But this word, once again, starts at love less. And it grows to something. Let me read to you what it grows to. All right. It starts with love less. Then it goes to detest. Then it goes to persecuting. You know, you don't think you would do something, but if you don't stop it now, when the Lord shines it on your life, the definition of what's happened in your life will grow to something you think you would never do. Where it was just loving the Lord less and wanting to hold on to something in your life, it becomes detesting who the Lord is. I'm telling you, I believe I see this manifested. It touches my heart because I believe I've seen people who this has happened to. It grows to a place of detesting the Lord. And maybe you won't say, well, I detest the Lord, but you'll start looking at and you'll start detesting things that are really the Lord being manifested. And then it moves on to that persecution stage. We actually begin to persecute. And you know, even there, people are saying, well, I'm not really persecuting the Lord. It's just, you know, some excuse comes up. But you know, if you don't stop where the Lord's giving you these choices, whether you're going to love him more or love him less, if you let that definition happen in your life, it grows to something more. Lord, help us. Thank God for his light. Lord, help us to have an eagerness to take hold of it in our lives when it comes in and shines on us. All right? And so, here in closing, I want to turn to John, the 12th chapter. And we'll look at the 35th verse here. It says, then Jesus said unto them, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. And you know, I looked at this verse and I thought, Lord, that's it. That's what we want to leave here today. And we want to say, Lord, when the light comes on us, walk in that light. But sometimes the Lord just lets me know, you know, this is exactly the verse I want you to end on. And so I felt nudged to kind of study out the words a little bit. And I looked at that word, come upon you. All right? It says, lest darkness come upon you. Walk while you have the light.
Yes.
And if you don't, you need to fear this, that if you don't do that, darkness will come upon you. Well, do you know what come upon, what the root word there is, the Greek word? You don't, because I put you on the spot, and I didn't either. But it's the same word that in John 1 and 5 that we read today, the word comprehended, it's the exact same word here. If I sit here, do you remember what that word meant? It meant to take eagerly, seize, possess. If I restrain myself from the light of the Lord, and I don't take it eagerly and possess it, well then, there is something that's going to take me and possess me.
Sure.
You don't think you do. You know, Sister Irene here shared a story about a man this morning that did something. Why would you marry somebody if at some point you're willing to take a knife and hurt them? Why? How could you possibly do that? You pull back from the light and you might be amazed at what happens. Because it's not about you. It's about the decisions you make and what you let take hold of your life. And if you pull back from the light of God on your life, there is something that will take hold of you. And we'll pull you in directions that you didn't think were possible. Walk in the light while you have it. Lord, help us. In Jesus, I felt like that was a prayer, so why not? Dear God, please, in Jesus' name, help us to be willing to take, as you bring your light in our lives, to be willing to take hold of it eagerly, that we might walk with you and be safe. In Jesus' name, amen.